The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Going on, people. Welcome to Throwdown, episode 141. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
It's the Throwdown. Get the lowdown.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, what up?
Brian Manjoma.
Hey, what's up?
And Adam Vale.
What's up?
Yeah, by the way, you know I got to do this live, man. You switched a little too quickly, man.
Oh, sorry. I was
still doing the intro, and it's just your chest. I'm like, what the fuck? Oh, man, it's all good. All right, Brett may join us today, or he may not. There's supposedly some weird, crazy-ass thunderstorms happening in Kansas town, so we'll see what happens. They're supposedly going to end in, like, 15 minutes, but who knows, you know? Mm-hmm. But before we start, we got to address a little something from our friend Grimrook. He didn't like something that was said on the show.
What do we do? What do we do, Ray?
Adam, specifically. By the way, you know, Grim, you know, he's a loyal fan and stuff, but you know, when we say something he don't like, he gets mad. Like him and Chris have gone on it, you know, at it a lot of times. You know?
I was like, what did I say last week?
Nope, it wasn't you, it was Adam.
So, all right. So, do you want me to explain?
I gotta read what he said, and then you explain it. So, this is about Adam saying that For Honor is a button mashing game. He said For Honor is not a button masher. If you're mashing buttons, you don't know how to play. You can't really rail on reviewers for not knowing their shit. Then 2 minutes later, one of you who clearly doesn't know what he's talking about with For Honor says something like that. So, Adam, the floor is yours, man. How do you? Address
all this. Right. I think remember we talked about this of my definition, and that what he just said of a button masher is what I'm talking about. They tried to make it like Bushido Blade. They tried to make it complicated and add some real strategy, but people don't know how to play that shit. So they just button mash, and then that's it. And then you're stuck playing with people that don't know how to play. It's sort of like with Forza when they were like, oh, the Drivatar. Oh, that's great. I get to go against other people's AI and they're driving. No, these fucking guys are zigzagging. They're going the wrong way on the road. They ruined the whole game. And that was the thing, because I did play it. You know, I did a share play with a buddy of mine, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's complicated. And he was like, yeah, but after a while, you know, it's like an upgraded version of Assassin's Creed version. You know, parry, strike, you know, until your stamina's down, and then you got to back up. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't know. And then, yeah, there was reviews and people saying about something else, about people getting jumped or something. It's great when it's like on a one-on-one and both players know the combinations and the strategy. But then when you get other people involved, it sort of ruins the whole flow of it because then they start attacking one person. But the whole thing, when I said button mashing, I meant that just like how he said it. It's when they just press the buttons. Not that you can fly through the game like that, but that's what you're left up to. Or if you don't want to learn how to play, you're going to just be like pressing all, you know, just attack button and parry button and block and, you know, just fly through. That's what I meant. All right, that so it's one of those games that you could fly through just button mash. It's just that people will end up button mashing. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, think about it like this, right? When you play any kind of multiplayer, right? Let's say there's objectives, right? You got to do clear objectives. Everybody just ends up shooting each other anyway. They don't even bother with the objectives. Yeah. Yeah. People play the simplest, stupidest way possible. So I could see that happening. And I should have probably said this when you said it, because I'm going to be honest, I don't really give a fuck about For Honor. So I didn't feel like, you know, living up to the honor For Honor. When Adam said it was a button masher, I actually did think, like, no, it isn't. You know, because I played it at E3 a bunch of years ago. I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago. I didn't think it was a button masher. The game is more like a MOBA where, like, you have specific parts in the map. You and your homeboys who are AI controlled have to fight other people and their homeboys, beat them up, and then you take over the territory. And then there's obviously parts where you're one-on-one with the other person and stuff, right? I didn't feel it was button mashy, but I could see how it could devolve into that. If you have two people who don't really know what they're doing or don't care to learn what they're doing, they're just going to start mashing buttons to beat the fuck out of each other. So I think that's what you were talking about, Adam.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. That's, so yeah, but I remember when the concept was great. Yeah, no, the concept was great. I remember when they were advertised, I'm like, wow, this is like Bushido Blade. This would be great strategy. You know, if you're a knight and then a samurai, oh, that'd be awesome. And then when I tried it, I'm like,
fucking game anyway. There's a reason nobody bought it in the end, you know?
But then also, it's like, I was thinking when he got upset, I'm like, well, maybe they pack shit to fucking hell. Like, they do all their games. Ubisoft does it to all their games.
I don't want
to
hear that shit. If you don't have that game working like day one, I'm not hearing.
I remember Ghost Recon, broken AI guys at your team banging into trees and stuff, and I passed on it. But then I saw there was patch notes, and then I was like, you know what, let me watch a video, see if people reviewed if it actually fixed a problem, and it did. So I gave it a shot, and it did fix most of it, but they spend a lot of time. Look at Division. We talked about that before. That's a whole nother game right now, the way they patch that shit.
I feel like the one thing about doing those later on patches and stuff like that, yes, they fix the issues, but like especially when the game comes out with a bunch of issues, I feel like it's a little too late when it's at the point where it's like, all right, you know, we totally readjusted the game and changed it. It's now a different game than what was originally set. I feel like at that point they already lost the crowd. You know, people weren't going to be down with it. What, you know, most people don't know about these revision things that they do to these games, and they just read the reviews and like, all right, then that's it.
Yeah.
It's almost like reviewers have to do kind of a second review of the game.
I don't like that. It's like the game that launches should be the game you review, you know? By the way, quickly, Hashling and Slasher says that I'm using the term MOBA too loosely. I am using it loosely because For Honor is a mishmash of a bunch of shit. It's not exactly like a MOBA, but that's the closest thing I could liken it to, you know, but it is a bunch of different game elements all in one. That's why you know, developers, Ubisoft, they were like, it isn't this or that or the other thing. I think they called it something else. I'm like, no, it's not. I remember when they called The Division, oh, it's an RPG. No, it's not. You know, get the fuck out of here. That's not an RPG. You shoot people, you know? Not saying you can't do that in RPG, but that wasn't an RPG to me, man.
You know, the thing about it is that a lot of these companies like to stay away from certain sorts of languages to kind of, and that might scare away potential customers, you know, like the word RTS with the game Brutal Legend.
Yeah, that's, you know, why they never said that.
True. They never said it.
And it's a fucking RTS game.
Yeah.
You know? All right, what's going on, D-True 49? So let's get into it, man. Okay, this is, by the way, this week we struggled a little bit to find topics. This week was fucking dry as the Sahara. Fucking nothing happened, you know? I mean, this is how bad it was. Gaming sites started regurgitating shit from last week, and this is actually our main topic here because we got that nice fancy image from Mr. E-Man over there. Okay, so last week we told you about Michael Packer's prediction that the PlayStation 5 would be coming out in 2019, which is something I've been saying for a while now, right? But now this week, they've, you know, the gaming sites have been latching onto the second half of what he said in that interview, where he said that the PlayStation 5 is going to be another half-step console like the PlayStation 4 Pro. We were almost about to get into this before the show started. So, Chris, I'm going to jump right to you. Why do you disagree with this statement?
Because the statement, the reason the PS4 Pro and with PS4 is a half step is because it's based on the same exact CPU and GPU architecture, right? It's just a beefed up Jaguar and the current GPU. I forgot the line that's pre Vega. That AMD uses. Anyway, it's using that same architecture. It's just overclocked, right? Higher bus speeds, things like that. So that you could call a half measure because you're just presenting a system that's slightly beefed up than what you had previously. The PS5 and the next Xbox, whatever they call it, 2 or
the next box,
Xbox Z or whatever.
Call it Xbox 3. Why not? You know? Confuse everyone.
Yeah. So they're going to use the Ryzen architecture, right? The new CPU and the Vega GPUs from AMD, which are vastly improved over their predecessors. You're not talking half step anymore. We're now outdoing Moore's Law. If you guys don't know what Moore's Law is, that is an old computer science pacing for doubling computing power and he said every 18 months computing power would double. Right now, Intel and NVIDIA and all these guys are outpacing that, right? So Ryzen is a huge jump over all the previous things. They make a Ryzen APU for PS5 and all that stuff, which guarantee they're going to do that. They're not going to use Jaguar anymore, cost, whatever. They're going to jump right to this new shit, and it is going to be vastly improved. Xbox is going to do the same thing. Their next system is going to be based on Ryzen and Vega, and it's going to be vastly improved. Like, we're talking more than a whole step. So, yeah, that statement's way off.
Yeah, tell us the other part you said, Chris, about Michael Pachter himself. Does he actually know what he's talking about in this regard?
Oh, well, this is an analyst who's using some of his technical ignorance, but also knows how to push buttons, right? This got everybody talking. He just says, like, oh, it'll be another half measure, partly due to his ignorance of computing architecture and the steppings of computing power and what's come out, right? And partly because he knows he'll get everyone talking and everybody paying attention to what he said, right? Because, come on, you said PS5 was going to come out 2019. I've seen a whole bunch of guys say that. He's not the first person to say it. As a matter of fact, he got on the end of that train. But he gets to get credit for it because he also pokes you with a knife at the end of that. Oh, by the way, it's a half step. So it gets people pissed off, or it gets people going, see, Sony sucks, or it gets the other half going, fuck you, Michael Pachter. You know, he just gets mad. So then they talk about it, then they associate it with him, and they go, well, Pachter said it's coming out 2019. No, well, a lot of people said that. You know, we said it.
I'm sorry, you got to clear my throat real quick.
I'm sorry that you also have to punch somebody in the face after you make a prediction to get any fucking credit for it nowadays. But that's what he's doing. He's poking the bears, and now he gets his 15 minutes again.
Hey, Carlos, what are you saying, man?
Yeah, like it's funny because he's using the whole concept of the PS4 Pro and how that's a half step or a half step improvement, but it's because it's only improving the GPU. Like if GPU was all there was to the console, then yeah, it was just a half step. But considering if we're going to go into the new architecture, like Chris said, we're going to go into Vega the Vega Ryzen APU they're going to make, it's going to be more than a half step improvement, because GPU is just one thing, CPU is another whole improvement, and you know the GPU is going to improve from what we're getting right now. So yeah, it's just a catchphrase that's going to get attention, it's going to get clicks, and it's going to get all these people like wanting to talk about Michael Pachter and his freaking predictions about how informed he is or misinformed he is.
Yeah, pretty much. And then actually, Brian, get in here, man. What do you make of that as our resident PC guy?
I don't mind that much because I don't care what he says anymore. At that point now, where like Michael Pachter can say like the moon will fall out of the sky tomorrow, and I'll be like, okay, cool. Like, I just tend not to even like listen to what he says.
I don't know why people bother. He's
easily the most famous video game analyst out there, so he keeps getting airtime. And also, like Chris says, the guy knows how to push buttons, so that's why he keeps making headlines. Again, I have nothing against the guy. I like the guy, but I think he knows what he's doing in some cases, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he's ignorant of the technology, but he's using that to his advantage, because then he'll get interviews at IGN or whatever, and they'll either say, why would you say it's a half step, or what do you mean half step or whatever? And guess what? He gets more publicity.
Yeah, and then when he gets proven wrong when the new consoles come out, this applies to the Xbox One X too. Like when these new consoles come out, and then they're going to be like, oh, it wasn't a half step, and then he has a mulligan. He's like, yeah, well, I was just talking about the GPU.
Right? He does his out, you know?
That's his out.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. But yeah, but you know, like we said last week, with the whole PlayStation 5 coming out in 2019 prediction, that's another one of his Captain Obvious moments as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, dude, come on. You know, we've been saying that shit. But again, those predictions that he makes that annoy me are like the obvious ones. Like, oh yeah, I predicted this year we'll have another Call of Duty. Like, come on, bro, really? or Call of Duty will be this year's highest selling game. But then when he's wrong, he's wrong. Remember the prediction about Red Dead Redemption? Oh, no one cares about cowboys and Indians. No one's going to buy that fucking game. And I'm like, bro, it's Rockstar. It's going to fucking sell.
Yeah, but that's when he like when he was first breaking in, when he started doing the whole thing with game trailers and stuff. Like the dude was like, if you think he's ignorant now, he was way ignorant at the start.
Yeah, but still, to me, if you're even back then, he was still an analyst. You got to know your shit. I'm sorry, that's not an excuse, you know. As far as I'm concerned, and it's such an obvious one. I'm like, dude, it's fucking Rockstar making essentially Grand Theft Auto in cowboy times. Who is not gonna buy that shit? It just seems so obvious to me. You know?
Well, old Tony was like, man, I hate fucking cowboys and Indians.
Yeah, I did, but they changed my mind when it was Rockstar doing it. You know,
which is pretty interesting, because wouldn't the analyst who doesn't play that many games like look at the track record of the studios who make the games instead of?
You would think so, right?
Here's the thing. He doesn't need the great thing about Michael Pachter's game is that he doesn't need to be right. He doesn't need to be right or wrong, because being an analyst is essentially just making an educated guess and being paid for it. You don't need to be right. Same thing with weather forecasters. You just got to be right some of the time.
Yeah, right. Oh man, it's ridiculous. But yeah, it's not really much to say about that story. So we'll move on to the next one here. We got a couple here because, again, little things happen, nothing major. This one is pretty interesting, though. So Lorne Lanning, who gave us all the Oddworld games, right? He called Nintendo out. And you and I were discussing this, and it seems like there's some bad blood, you know? Basically,
the shit that he says, that's like inside shit. He must have had some serious shit trying to get something on there. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, apparently, they did get Oddworld New and Tasty on Wii U, but I think that left a bad taste in his mouth. This is what he said. I'm going to quote the man. He goes, "I don't have faith. I have no faith. It's due to experience. I see a similar level of success than they had with previous generations. Wii U, Wii, how successful was it for third parties? By the end of the life of the Wii, who else was making money aside from Nintendo? How many titles sold for the Wii that weren't Nintendo first party? They started basically evaporating third-party support. We get to Wii U, same, no third-party support." So that's why he has no faith in the system, being a huge success, because he sees the third-party support evaporating like it did in the last two generations, maybe even the third. The last time Nintendo had proper third-party support, if you really think about it, was the Super Nintendo.
Oh no, the Game Boy Advance had
No, I'm talking about consoles, not handhelds.
Oh.
If you really think about it,
N64.
No, Super Nintendo had way more. Yeah, they had the market. They dictated. I mean, if you watch, go in Namco's history and watch what they said about Splatterhouse. Nintendo made them take a knee.
Yeah,
about basically. Splatterhouse. Like, no joke. So, yeah.
Let's talk about that first part of the quote, and then we'll go on to his next quote. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, with the.
Yeah, Lorne Lanning's just,
he said.
Yeah, but dude, yeah. Let's just be honest. That's the same shit we've been saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so you're getting inside track, even more insider. He has experience, right? He's ported stuff. He's developed for Wii U, and he knows like that. And what he's saying, nobody can deny it. Like, if you're denying it, you ain't seen the history even recently. Just look at last generation. You know, the Wii U, just like he said. But that's the problem. Yeah, Nintendo designs their consoles for Nintendo first. That's absolutely true, right? They just make the hardware that they can work with, and they disseminate it out to everyone and go, here, work with this, right? And we've heard all the stories before about poor third-party support, poor dev support, API support. It takes... some guys were reporting 2 to 4 week turnaround time for bugs or problems with code. Like, they really give those guys the shaft in terms of development, right? And the soft dollars they got to spend. We saw that Eurogamer thing, which probably came from Ubisoft, even though it was anonymous, so we called that out. That was probably Zombie U or something.
Yeah, so exactly.
So we know that history. We know this guy is telling the truth about that stuff. And a lot of guys are bitter about that, right? They ain't going to go back. So I don't know what they're doing now with the Switch, ingratiating people in or whatever, If they don't change that, though, he's absolutely right. Like, you need third-party support to survive. We've been saying this from time immemorial. They cannot hold it down by themselves for a system. No one can. It's never happened in console history. Go look at TurboGrafx-16. Go look at Atari Jaguar. Go look at anything. They're all gone. Why? Because they don't got third-party support. That shit will happen again, even to the biggest companies. Big companies don't last forever. Kodak used to own the camera industry. Pan Am used to be the biggest airline in the world. I say this over and over again. They don't exist in the same capacity anymore. Why is that? Because they get overcome with their own hubris and they make a mistake. Kodak didn't think digital cameras would be a thing. Film was going to last forever. Yeah. They're gone. You know,
Blockbuster.
Right. Who needs streaming? Well, they did. Yeah. You know, so this can happen. So, like, he's not saying anything we don't know, but it's good to hear, because, like, everybody just goes, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, what about a guy who's made successful games since the mid-90s? As Manny reminded me.
He's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, how about just one more thing? The 3DO guy. Remember we quoted the president of 3DO, right?
That's right.
Yeah, he said it.
And here's the second part of the quote he said. This is the one that kind of caused controversy, right? He goes, the thinking over at Nintendo has to change. The biggest problem I see at Nintendo is the thinking. Personally, I think it killed Iwata that he couldn't move the organization into a really successful arena. It's a tragedy because Nintendo brought this business back. We're all playing today because of Nintendo's foundingness. Now they really need to get to, now they need to get to 21st century about it, and they're not. So yeah, he's not saying it, physically killed Iwata, but it hurt Iwata. I think, like, he thinks that Iwata was like, fuck, I want to do more, but I can't, who knows that, but that's the part that kind of got him in trouble there. But again, he's right. We've been saying this on Throwdown too. Basically everybody at the head of Nintendo needs to fucking go. All of them need to go. If you want real change there,
Right.
And that's what he's saying there. Again, I just find it funny. We've been saying this shit for fucking years, right? Nobody takes it seriously. He says the exact same thing we've been saying. Now people are listening.
Well, but I think what's going to eventually be the downfall of the Switch is just, and we're seeing it now, where third-party games are showing up, but they're missing features. You know what I mean? It's like they're not exact. For example, even the WWE 2K18 game that just got announced, right? They're like, oh, it's going to come out. And now they said it's definitely coming out during the launch. But they said with some features from 2018. So wait, some features. So what is this? Which version is this? They don't want to call it something else. They want to say it's part of that 2018 family, but really it's not. And that's the same thing we're seeing with FIFA, and I'm sure other third parties are going to do. And it sucks, and I wish it wasn't the case. But when you start dumbing things down, and then people start wising up and say, I have the Switch. I like the Switch. It's fun. I take it on the go, but it's not giving me the full experience of this game. You know what I mean? As opposed to if I played it on my Xbox or PS4, and yeah, some people or, Brett said, oh, it's a secondary console. For younger people, which is also what they're trying to attract, I'm sure this will be their only console. This is what they're telling their parents. Yeah. Hey, this is what I want because it's going to do all this, just like the other ones, and on the go. And then when they start going to school and playing with their friends, and they're like, yeah, I got this mode, and it's like, I don't have that mode. What do you mean? Oh, the campaign mode, I don't have that. Well, that's not in your version. What do you mean? Shit. It's the same thing. It's same thing. They're not renaming them.
I mean, look at that. Everybody's clamoring about Skyrim, a six-year-old game. You get the Switch version of Skyrim. Go to your buddy's house who has the PC version of Skyrim, which has been modded to high hell and looks like a 4K game at this point. And you tell me which version you'd rather play, right? Yeah, that's exactly what Adam's talking about.
Yeah, and I know the big backlash, and this is going to be at least for Europe. And O'Brien doesn't like it, but FIFA. FIFA's huge. FIFA 18's coming. The big deal was the story, the journey. That's a big deal. That There's whole no mode, it's not in it. It's not in it. And I'm telling you, kids are going to be like, I can't wait to play the story. I can't play it. I want to continue on. It's not there.
And it's not FIFA's EA, right?
Yeah, FIFA's EA. Yeah.
Running in the Frostbite.
Not even Frostbite. No, none of their games. They said all the games they make on it, none of them are going to be able to run Frostbite.
Remember, DICE had to apologize and pull that tweet when they made fun that Frostbite can't work on the Switch.
Yeah,
they were trying to get it to work, and they said some. They said some not so nice things.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, they can't get it to work on the Switch.
Oh yeah, we know that. But they got to be PC, This is all business at the end of the day. They're not businessmen, so they're like, this shit is stupid. EA's like, don't say that.
Don't say that shit. You know, actually, the next story is related to this, but I want to give a few quick
It's running on Minibyte.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to the Platform Live who's in there. They specifically said, sup, Emilio.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Transcending polygons. He's going off on Nintendo there. He's like, Nintendo still has the tyranny of a World War II nationalistic Japan in its DNA.
You have failed, Nintendo.
He also says Nintendo. He goes, Nintendo is like 20th century China, closed walls, inbred. Man.
Well, I see one change. I mean, hey, they got that theme park, and that's something that we never thought that they would. Yeah, they're working with Universal, and they're having those theme parks built. Yeah.
Universal's like, man, we have this one island of adventure that's totally empty now since we lost the rights to Marvel.
Let's
turn it to Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
Also, I want to give a shout out to Daniel J, who's throwing some more money our way. Appreciate that, brother. Thank you, man. And of course, my man Puerto Rock 77, who's now back. He was on hiatus for about 3 weeks, so he's back doing podcasts. That's a good dude. We need to get him on Throwdown. That's a good guy, man.
I actually knew a rapper named Puerto Rock.
A word? Maybe he's named himself after.
Maybe
that.
They're one and the same.
Maybe, yeah.
All right. Okay. Next up here again, you know, still talking about Switch. This is a pretty funny one, right? So Lawbreakers, the developer behind Lawbreakers, came out and said, you know, they were asked, hey, how come the game isn't coming out to Switch? Because it's coming to PS4 and PC, no Xbox though. So, and they said, oh, we're not going to bring it to Switch because the Switch doesn't have enough buttons. And I'm like, The Switch has the exact same amount of buttons, bro. What the fuck are you talking about? As a matter of fact, if you put them in Joy-Con mode, they have more buttons than a regular controller. Think about it. They have two analog sticks, start, pause, four face buttons, four shoulder buttons. The exact same amount of buttons as even the analog sticks are clickable. So I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? But they even retracted the statement, right? But I'm thinking like, yo, did my man think this was a Wii? You're like, why would he say something like that? You know?
We
know why. I'm like, my man, why don't you just say this shit can't run on Switch? Why not just say that?
It can't run on Switch.
Yeah. That's what he should have said. I wonder why he was afraid to say buttons. Really? That's the excuse?
Well, you could like easily disprove it, you know? Yeah. It's like you need a committee. It's like, let's investigate how many buttons. It has the same amount of buttons and more, you know? But yeah, that's what it is. Let's just be honest, guys. The shit probably can't run on the fucking Switch. Let's just be real here. And if you could run it on Switch, you know what you'd have to do to play with others? Use that crazy head jack solution shit, you know? They should have just been honest. Like, listen, we don't want to party on that bullshit. Fuck that system.
For some reason, like, I just imagine myself seeing, like, the shortest ever Digital Foundry game proving that it has the same buttons as...
Right?
We just concluded that it has the same buttons. Thank you.
And as a matter of fact, if you detach the Joy-Cons, you have more buttons.
And then it plays that song.
Yeah, the Digital Foundry. Yeah, there's not really much to the story. It's like, guys, just be honest. Say you don't want to put the game on that fucking system because it's too weak and you have to go through all this bullshit to talk to people. Just be real, you know? Fucking no, not enough buttons. That's the stupidest thing you ever heard this week. I'm like, really? Dumbasses. All right, anybody else want to say anything about that?
Yeah, there's nothing more to say about
that. Yeah, it's not really much to say. Just, you guys are being stupid.
Be real. Yeah.
Just be real. The Switch can't run that shit. All right. The next one here. We already knew about this, but you know, now we're getting a little bit more in depth. So Xbox, and I think it's for the first time here, will be at Gamescom in Europe. You know? Yeah,
it says right. Did Gamescom before though, years ago.
No, I'm sorry.
They did.
It's okay, it's been a while, but they said this will be the first time Xbox One will be on at Europe.
Is this true?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true because, you know, think about it.
They use any way necessary to make itself like an exclusive kind of thing.
You know? So they're going to have 27 playable games for the Xbox One family of devices and Windows 10 PC. Okay.
Windows family.
Love that. So they go, some of these games include Forza Motorsport 7, Age of Empires, Definitive Edition, and Sea of Thieves. I got a question. Is Age of Empires going to be on Xbox One? Because I don't see that shit on Xbox One, you know? I could be wrong, but, you know. So yeah, what do you guys, or is anybody excited about this? They're also gonna have Fan Fest over there, a bunch of crazy German guys, Xbox. Ooh, that's scary. Xbox, like German Xbox fans, German Xbox fanboys. That's kind of scary to me.
Is that scary? I mean, come on. You got like an old stereotype of German people in your brain.
Okay, you want me to use a new stereotype? A bunch of drunken assholes, you know, going crazy. There's your new stereotype, you know.
I mean, some would say that would be a bunch of Americans too. So
yeah, or, I think white people in general, because if you think about it, like all the white countries are just heavy drinkers. Then again, yeah, but all Hispanics and Indians, everybody just
drinks. Mexicans too, man. Mexicans,
what are you talking about? What are you talking about? The drunken Native American? Come on,
that's true. Hey, man, pull your camera down a little bit. Man, you look like you're a little kid.
Oh shit!
everybody, white, yeah, everybody, like, oh, this country is a straight away drunks. Every country has drunks, though, if you think about it.
Alcohol affects everyone, every human.
Yeah. So Adam, man, what are you expecting most to see from Xbox Gamescom, man?
Pretty much nothing. I'm not saying more FIFA. They always hype up FIFA. they do a lot. They'll announce another bundle.
You know, FIFA and PES, Pro Evolution Soccer. Yeah. That's what you're missing.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know. I don't really see much. I mean, it's not going to be much that we haven't already seen. They said they're not doing a press conference. They're just going to have a big presence.
Yeah,
you know, so it's not like they're going to unveil something that we haven't seen before or that we don't know about.
By the way, somebody in the chat, correct me on this. I could be wrong. Isn't Sony skipping Gamescom this year? I think they are, but I could be wrong about that. So that'd be interesting. I'm like, oh, no, Sony, Microsoft's going to have the whole thing to themselves, basically, if you think about it.
Well, they're the only ones releasing exclusives at the end of the year. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Sorry, Ni No Kuni. That kind of sucks. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's really much to say about this. It's like, okay, you know, but yeah, that sucks. I didn't know there was not going to be a conference. I'm like, what's the point then? Like, well, for us,
it's mainly just like, just one of those events, you know, just go see a bunch of games, you know, that's all it is. It's not like E3. It's not what people thought it was going to be. People thought it was going to be the next E3 for Europe. It just turned out that's not the way they're going. But the fact
Gamescom always gets E3 scraps, if you think about it.
Yeah, maybe it's the timing. Because it's sandwiched in between E3 and Tokyo Game Show. And those get all the traffic, right?
Yeah,
I think it's just bad timing.
Yeah, but I don't think there's much more to say. It's, you know, they're going to have a big presence there. Hopefully we'll learn more about the Xbox One X.
Maybe they'll do a little bit more to give you a little bit more of a comparison between them now. You know,
yeah, they didn't do that at E3. They didn't do any comparisons. Like, I don't, you know, the Digital Foundry style comparisons.
Well, I don't think you'll see that from Microsoft. You'll probably need a Digital Foundry or third party to do that because they still want to sell the S.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they're not going to bash your other one. They're not going to say, you see how crappy that version was? Nope.
In the old days, when we were kids, they would do that shit. Look how crappy this look. Look at Master System. This is shit with Genesis. You know, they would do that back then. I hope they have Crackdown gameplay. Like, you need to show that shit. Not Terry Crews. He's not the game. Just show the actual game.
He is the game now.
Yeah, apparently, right? You know,
imagine he's not even in the game. He's just in the commercial.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's in DLC. Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, we're gonna get
voice work.
We're gonna get the Cubheads, the Crackdowns, and Sea of Thieves. Probably that's probably the three headliners of Gamescom.
Yeah, for sure. Daniel J says if PS5 comes out in 2019, will PS4 sell 100 million by then?
No.
Nah.
3 years to sell 40 million. It's
crazy. Maybe 80 million by then for sure. But 100 million. I don't know about that, man.
We have a bet, don't we? Like.
Do we? Yeah. How does the bet going? Because I kind of forgot it.
By the end of the year,
by the end of next year, I remember. That was
PS3 sales. Remember?
Oh yeah, PS3 sales would be. Was it PS3 sales or PS4?
Like PS4 would outsell the PS, man.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. By the end of next year, that's our bet, right?
I thought it was this year.
No, this year that's stupid. That's not gonna happen this year. That's ridiculous. You know. I'm saying at the end of next year, it's going to outsell PS3.
Yeah, Yeah, and I would sure. still take, and I'll still take both bets. So yeah, I'm right. pretty sure.
And you year. Guys in the comments, please keep track of that because I forget. You know, but yeah, this year it ain't fucking happening. No way. You know, I know some people have said that, but I'm like, no, next year for sure. You know,
have you asked? Have right. you asked Nintendo fans? They think the Switch is gonna outsell the PS3 this year.
Oh, Switch is gonna outsell the PS4 this year, bro. all right. Next thing here, another Xbox thing. I kind of threw this one in here for Adam because he's the big Xbox guy. So there's a new update where you could add yep. your custom gamer picks and all this other shit. Adam, what do you think about this update?
That's just bringing that back. I remember doing that on a 360 when I had the camera. Because with the camera, they were like, oh, yeah, take whatever picture you want, and then you can make that as your default image. You know, and then people were doing stupid shit, and then they took it away. You know, so they're just bringing it back. No, they're giving things yes. back. Again, another fucking feature that we had already. And
interesting.
You know, so whatever. And what's oh, really cool is the mixer.
Yeah, let's talk about the streaming thing. Yeah,
the mixer thing is cool. Cool because yeah. I have a bunch of buddies of mine that are big into yeah. Injustice 2. Now, Injustice 2, just like the regular Injustice, has its own little group thing like that where you can watch people play and you can jump in and take turns and goof and stuff. But what if you could do that in a bunch of games? And that's what that does. That's going to be very popular. I could see that being very popular.
Yeah, for sure. That's Mixer co-streaming. I also like, because, for example, you know how you could have multiple people on one Xbox, right? Now, before, what you would have to do is everybody would need to, like, individually log in, you know, to play the games. But now you could assign a specific controller to a profile. So all you have to do is just turn on that controller. It takes you right to the profile. No need for any nonsense. So that's pretty good, you know?
Cool, too. Yeah.
And there's also, I'm just reading what it says here. It also says there's new user-generated tournaments for Killer Instinct on Xbox One, means it's never been easier to go battle with your friends. All right, that's cool. And I know they're also going to update, or it's already updated, the Xbox app on iOS and Android, you know? Our favorite app, right, Carlos and Adam?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we need to do one of those sessions again, man. That shit always cracks me up.
Yo, let's do it live on air right now. Yeah. Okay, for you guys who don't know, one thing we like to do amongst ourselves is go on our Xbox apps and see how many of our friends are actually playing games. Most 80% of the time, most of our friends aren't playing games. They're like watching TV or Netflix or something. But we're going to do this on air now. You know, you're getting a little bit of our private chat right now.
Let's,
you know,
see. All right, logging in now.
All right, go to friends list.
Okay.
All right, so. So I only got 9 friends online, so I'll just run through them real quick. So the first one is TV, Madden, Overwatch, Home, Netflix, HBO Now, Xbox app, that's Tony, NCAA football, and the Jackbox Party Pack 3. What the hell is that?
I'm going to just give him a pass and say that's a game.
Yeah, that's a game. So
So out of those 9, how many are playing games?
Four of nine.
All right. Okay, not bad. All right. For me, I have 21 on. I'm gonna just run through them. Injustice, YouTube, TV, YouTube, Forza Horizon 2, Hulu, Home, YouTube, CBS, Diablo 3, Hulu, Home, Netflix, Gears of War 4, Home, Dead by Daylight, TV, Halo 5, Halo the Master Chief Collection. So out of 21, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys. So 1/3 of them, basically.
Oh, wow.
I have 10, and only 2 are playing a game. Damn. One playing, he's playing, everyone's watching TV, Netflix, live. It's live. TV, more TV, Xbox app, Netflix. Yeah, and then it's just the 2 games is Rainbow Six Siege and NBA 2K17.
Yeah, and the funny thing is if you go on PlayStation, there's always dudes playing games.
Oh, yeah, my peoples are always playing.
They get down, man. All right, so let's move on to our next topic, which is actually our last topic, unless you guys want to say anything else about custom gaming shit on Xbox. I like it. It's good, you know? I'll put my actual face on there now, not that stupid avatar.
This is why I'm really hoping that they kickstart like what they said they wanted to do, which is what I'm talking about is letting people share games and the ability of giving games as gifts.
Yeah, that's good. The gifting shit. You know?
Yeah, the gifting. If they can bring that in, then that'll be awesome right there.
Okay, they need to bring back one versus 100, man.
Oh, boy. You really like that?
Yeah. It's probably like, I was good at it. That, I guess that's why
because you were good at it. That's funny. All right, man, let's move on. Last topic here. Very special one, too. The 30th anniversary of the very first Metal Gear, you know, back in the day. So I'm happy seeing all the memes and stuff. You know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people posting those memes probably never played the first Metal Gear, you know, but Manny, you know, tell us about your Metal Gear, you know, story, because you got into it.
My Metal Gear story actually connects with Adam's Metal Gear story, yeah, because Adam was actually the first person to have Metal Gear when we were kids, and how we actually beat the game is by just back and forth playing through the game. Like, you know, he played through a section, he'd die, we'd write down the code, and then, you know, same vice versa. And that's how we got through that first game.
I remember a Nintendo Power had the map. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And we had to open it up. And I'm like, after I look, I'm like, it looks like the same damn. Well, he goes up, he goes down, goes up, 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 yeah, down, down, twice. It's like, okay, so it's like a pattern just to get to door 5 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't have the key. Remember? Yeah. We thought we were going to skip through. We're like, oh, yeah, we just get to this. And they're like, nope, you need the key. And where's the key? It was all in this base, all the way on this other side. Like,
oh. Yep, yeah. So it was a long – and the one thing about being, like, a fan so – or, like, you know, fan so early in that series is that, especially when Snake's Revenge came out and kind of killed the franchise,
We
literally had, like, 8 years of waiting before Metal Gear Solid actually came out in 1998.
Yeah, I got a question. How did you guys find out about this game?
Comics. I used to read comics, and then they had the ad, the Ultra ads.
You could see it on the back of like Marvel Comics. Yep. It'd be like, gear up, and they show like all every single one of his weapons in there.
That's right.
And Chris, did you play Metal Gear back in the day?
Yeah, I did, but I mean, it was hard as hell. Like, first of all, what broke my brain is I started with Contra and Operation Wolf and all this stuff. I get to Metal Gear, and this guy's punching people. I don't have a gun. So I was completely lost. Yeah, I could smoke. I was like, what the hell? First of all, I think it took me an hour just to get past the first dogs before you find the first guard. Then he's like, I feel asleep. Like, I didn't even get to that guy for like an hour because the dogs kept killing me. And then I didn't know you could get in trucks. I was like completely lost in that game. Contra was more straightforward to me. Oh, I just run forward and shoot everything in my way. That's more my speed.
to me, like, I'm being honest. I didn't like the first Metal Gear because I rented it from Blockbuster, right? And I saw the box art. I'm like, oh shit, you know, Michael Biehn. I'm like, oh shit, it's gonna be crazy. Like, I thought it was a Contra game, you know? I get in there, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Okay, you had the same reaction I did.
The exact same. Like, you telling your story, it's like, yeah, that's me. That's me completely. I didn't get very far in there. I was like, where's my gun? Like, what the hell is going on here? Fuck that. I went back to Contra. You know, and as a matter of fact, when they brought Metal Gear Solid, right, I was like, I vaguely remember that, you know, but obviously, you know, it's kind of crazy because Metal Gear, the first one, was a cult hit, right? Like, the reason everyone's really talking about the 30th anniversary now is because with Metal Gear, exactly.
It's really because of Solid, because after Metal Gear came out, it did incredibly well. And that's the whole reason why they made the sequel game, Snake's Revenge. But that game, the original game was obviously based off of the original Kojima game that was released for MSX. But the Snake's Revenge was a totally new game because Kojima never wanted to make a sequel.
Yeah.
In fact, when Snake's Revenge, the game designer for Snake's Revenge literally went over to Kojima like, listen, we're working on, you know, Metal Gear did really well on Nintendo. You should totally make a sequel to this thing. You know? So,
which it's why I was surprised when they brought it back for the newer PlayStations. I'm like, why? I thought it was done, you know, but you know, he had this crazy vision.
I always felt like there was something wrong with Snake's Revenge, and like later on, obviously with the internet, and you find out, oh yeah, the original guy didn't even design that game.
It didn't feel the same. It didn't.
No, because it had those stupid side-scrolling sections and like all kinds of other weird stuff. It's like, wait, why is this not the same?
Yeah. And then you find out that there was a real sequel and we never got it.
We never got it.
You know?
In fact, the first time we heard of anything Metal Gear related was, was back when Snatcher came out. And, Gillian had a Metal Gear Mark One next to him. You know, the little creature, his support unit. So it's like, oh my God, they should make a new one. Years later.
Yeah, but you got to give Kojima props back then, because again, every game was a giant action game back then. He's like, no action. You know, you got to think through things, you know? It's weirdly like no one really talks about it, but it was actually really innovative back then.
Well, that's the thing. I can't remember any clones.
There weren't.
Metal Gear was the only one of its kind at that point in time.
Yeah, like nobody tried to copy it because they probably was like, this is too crazy. You know, it's like, who's going to play it? And then look, like Tony said, I want Contra.
Yeah, I was like, I want Contra. What the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, you play any of the top-down games for NES that were action like that. It's like Akari Warriors, Commando, whatever. You're just running
TV.
A gun.
Yeah, Smash TV. Yeah, all that shit.
Run a gun.
Man. I mean, the original Metal Gear game was very much like a puzzle sort of game. You had to figure out ways to get around things. You had bullets you had a limited amount of bullets. You had, you could only use disguises in certain locations, stuff like that.
You needed a cardboard box.
A cardboard box.
The best is like you were doing UPS before UPS. You know, it's like, all right, let me see, get in here and what? Oh, I have to be in a box and they'll pick me up and stuff. Okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we are definitely a pretty important game, you know. But at the time, even though it did well, you know, people forgot it after the fucking Snake's Revenge. Like you said, Manny, kind of killed the franchise in America.
Franchise. And I mean, every single console, like the Metal Gear literally skipped the whole console generation, if you think about it.
Yeah, it did.
There was no Super Nintendo or Genesis version of the game or, you know, sequel of the game. They didn't even think to port the Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake to the Genesis or the Nintendo. That's how much that stupid Snake's Revenge did to that series.
Yeah, man. I thought it was dead.
Metal Gear is also one of those interesting things where it's a similar story, like where Square was in so much financial trouble and Final Fantasy, they literally named it because if that game didn't sell, they were going to go bankrupt.
Yeah.
And end up selling. So with Metal Gear, that was Kojima's ass was on the line. Konami's like, you make something, a hit, or you're done, right? He made a Penguin Adventure game before that. And it's like, this guy who made this Penguin Adventure game came up with this deep story and this new tactical espionage game, a new way to play, and nothing like it before, right? Came up with that to save his job.
Hey, Chris, to be fair, Konami still treats Kojima as the guy who made the Penguin game.
Yeah, they really did. They don't now they don't want him to have health care, man. That's how angry they are about that Penguin game.
We want you to die.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Konami isn't exactly doing anything for the 30th anniversary, you know?
Nope, which also shows their poor planning. Something. A special print, something to celebrate the anniversary. Nothing.
Yeah, Adam, what are you going to say?
So with the new one, the survival, if this bombs, which we pretty much are sure it's going to bomb, do you think this is it? We just saw the last of the series?
As far as I'm concerned, we saw the last Metal Gear. It was Metal Gear Solid 5. That's the last one as far as I'm concerned. You know,
I definitely think that the Metal Gear Survive, at least at this point in time, is going to be the last Metal Gear we're going to see anytime soon. Maybe later on they might resurrect it. But the one thing about the games is that they, you notice that Konami's moving kind of far away from AAA development. Like you look at the game Bomberman, you even look at the game like Metal Gear Survive. It's obviously a situation where these games don't cost as much as making, you know, full-on games like Metal Gear Solid 5 or the previous Metal Gears. So I don't think they're going to be making anything on the level of Metal Gear Solid 5 at all in the future.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I feel like they don't want to invest in something, especially, you know, the one thing that nobody ever talks about is how much money how much money, actual money that that Metal Gear Solid 5 actually costs to create. And it looks like they're just kind of pulling, in general, it looks like they're pulling their belts pretty tight. So I think we're just going to see a lot of smaller experiences.
But did it turn a profit? Did they make their money back?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't exactly know.
Because, I mean,
Those games are like huge investments when they come along, because it takes so many years and stuff like that. The one thing about the Pro Evolution Soccer games is that they make good money and they don't actually take a lot of development. They're pretty much like upgrades of the last year, you know?
Plus, they don't have it to pay any of the big license fees. So that's something that FIFA has. I mean, you know, because FIFA has FIFA license rights.
Yeah. So, you know, it sounds like doom and gloom, but I'm okay with that. You know,
yeah, we've had some good ones.
I feel, you know, you had some good Metal Gear games. We still have those memories, stuff like that. I feel like at this point in time, I even thought that Metal Gear, the idea of having Metal Gear Survive so close, or announced so close to the to Kojima leaving, was kind of stupid, because at least give it like 4 or 5 years before you start announcing.
It was too fast, you know.
It's too soon. And to be honest, I feel like they really should have just called it something else and just threw it out there. But the thing is that they want to capture that Metal Gear name, and that's the problem.
It's crazy. All right, man. So let's get into what we've been playing lately. Adam, you're still on that struggle, right, with fucking Ghost Recon?
Four trophies away on the platinum. And if anybody who's listening to this played it, it's the grinding. I'm trying to level up all the damn skills. You know, and each one, some of them have one skill level, some have four, some have five. You have to go and drive around, get trucks, steal planes, and it's just a lot of that. And then if they take some damage, then you don't get the full 5,000. And that sucks. No, but that's what I'm doing. I mean, this is, well, maybe, I don't know. There's no fast way to do it. I'm not buying any microtransactions. I'm not paying to go and have double XP for a few hours. Have to grind it out, but yeah, once I do this, I'm done.
Playing anything else, or you?
No. Yeah. That's the other thing. Life is Strange. Back to that. Still on episode one. Dead Space 3. Do that on Friday nights with a buddy of mine. We're doing that in co-op, so that's fun. Let me get that out of the way.
Hey, one of the first EA games, or you know, that when they started going over to the Frostbite, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, one of the first EA non-dice games to use that shit.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
I don't know. Big game gets a lot of shit. I don't know why. I liked it.
I think it's because people thought that it made it too easy once you had the co-op involved. You know, like, oh, this is cheesy. You know? But it's still damn hard. I mean, me and my buddy, we're constantly dying because it still has that Resident Evil feel of, like, you have limited ammo. You have limited health. You know what I mean? It's like, this is the way it is. You die, you start at the last checkpoint.
A lot of people call that the Resident Evil 5 of Dead Space games.
I guess, but I think a lot of people are also mad because of the microtransactions. There's a bunch of them. But they're not mandatory.
They're not mandatory, but I could see why, because they have this advanced crafting system in there. I mean, it's like, craft up the wazoo, make this gun, make that. But if you don't know how to do it, or you don't want to waste time doing it, then it's like, here's a bunch of special guns you can get. They're not expensive, like $1.50 or something like that. But still, it's microtransactions, you know, and people just don't want to do it. But for some others, I could see them, you know, fuck it, let me get it. But what they did change is that, I don't know if you remember in like 1 and 2, the suits had special abilities.
Yeah, that's right.
They had abilities like, oh, this one has more air and that. They got rid of that. So they have a bunch of suits in this game, but it's just all cosmetic.
And those superficial suits.
Yeah, superficial suits. You have to get upgrades, and then you apply whatever you want onto your suit.
Right.
You know? So you want more air, or you want better armor, then you have to apply it. So it's not like just get a special suit that has all that.
Yeah. Anything else?
I feel like there's always more shit. Well, I keep saying it, but I want to, hopefully this weekend we can do that for the Bleed from Mother Russia, and we'll see if we could stream that, you know.
Leading into something else. All right, Chris, man, what have you been playing lately?
Right now.
Wait. One more.
We got another one?
That's right, the Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. I'm veteran. That's it. That's what I want to start on Saturday.
Nice.
Call of Duty.
All right, Chris, what you got, man?
Yeah, right now I'm trying to platinum Necropolis. I beat it. I've done 2 run-throughs so far, and I need 2 trophies, and one of them, I don't know any other way to do it than do multiple playthroughs, because you need tokens and buy these codexes, the platinum for getting all of them, right? So I need like 30 or 40 more tokens. That's like 3 more playthroughs, man. So that's what I'm trying to do. There's no multiplayer plats. That's why I'm trying to get it.
Yeah. You know?
But it's a pain.
Nice. Anything else?
After that, I want to start Mother Russia Bleeds, because that I've been waiting to play.
That'll be a fun one. For the people that don't know, that is like a Final Fight and Streets of Rage, you know, modern version, plus Narc, because there's drugs involved, and if you take too much of it, your guy will get hooked.
Oh, shit. Know,
it's all funny. Right.
Brian, man, what you been playing lately?
I actually went back to playing The Crew, because for some odd reason, I think it's the studio decided that, hey, let's reward our Crew fans, and they set it up so that there's like a new challenge every 2 weeks, and for each one that you complete, you get to unlock a car in The Crew 2. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get The Crew 2 at some point in time, so I might as well just like unlock the cars early. And the best part is that these challenges are retroactive. And since I've already done most of the challenges anyway, then I'm just getting like cars for free now.
Just so, cars just pop up.
Well, don't pop up. They're more like saved like your profile. So like when I load up The Crew 2, then I'm like, oh cool, you played The Crew 1. Like here's like some cars that you have earned. It's like, okay. I think that's a really clever idea, because one, it gets people like playing like the current game, so it's good.
I like that. I wish that more games would do stuff like that, reward you for playing the last game in the series, where you know, you can't, like, especially for a lot of us, we go like to go through the whole game and get everything inside of the game. It'd be nice if you got a little something for doing all of that stuff. I mean, Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain kind of had it. If you beat that one and got all the different, like, high ratings, you get, like, a special suit and a gun or whatever. So it'd be nice if that happened, like, you know, in some other games. I think, what was it? Uncharted did something like that, didn't they? Mm. Uncharted from Uncharted, it was like 2 to 3. There was something that you got from the last game. I forgot what it was, though. It was really nothing really that important.
Well,
yeah.
I don't remember them giving me anything.
Yeah, what else, man?
I finally got around and finished this one game I was playing called Abyss Odyssey, which is like this weird like Spanish game or something like that. It was quite fun, but really buggy as hell. I mean, like, it crashed like 17 times on me. I was so pissed off. Like,
damn.
Right now it stands as like the worst performing game on PlayStation that I've ever played. Like, it's ridiculously unstable. But it was fun, and I'm done with it, so goodbye. And I think next
Uninstall.
Oh, yes, straight up. Like, okay, 100% delete, goodbye. And then I think the next one is going to be either Dragon's Dogma or God of War 3. God of War 1, sorry, yeah. Because I was trying to, like, go through them in chronological order, but then it's like I have to go and play Ascension, and I don't want to.
Yeah.
And yes, I said Ascension on purpose. My game is ass.
I don't blame you on that. Are you, by the way, are you playing the Warframe DLC?
It's not out yet, but I am waiting.
Oh, okay. Because Kyle was asking what your thoughts are. Like, didn't we talk about that?
We did, but then like the guys have like a really bad habit of like announcing stuff and then like waiting like 6 months like actually release it. Like they just tend to like say, hey, we are working on this, and then like months down the line, okay, here it is. So I'm not holding breath for that. I'm just going like, okay, when it comes out, else I'll just, it's there, it'll come out, and all sorts. And I've been tempted to like jump back into The Division, because apparently like the latest update, they added like new gear items, which are like more powerful than they've ever been. So I'm interested to go in there and see what's broken, because already some guys have said that the new gear sets are broken, which is kind of like the general trend now. It's like they do like a new update, they break the game, they do another new update that fix something in the game, but then it breaks up. I have no
All right. Transcending Polygons asks us, Has anybody played Soma? I haven't. I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Isn't that the underwater one?
Yeah.
Soma's the underwater one.
It's from the guys that made Amnesia.
I
have GOG, but it's not in the pipeline yet.
The one thing about that game, it's very kind of... there is guns in that game, is there?
I thought
that game was a little bit more walking simulator-y.
It's more of like a YouTube horror type game where it's like it's you have no weapons, you just walk around.
Yeah, like Outlast or
puzzle solving type stuff.
Yeah. Amnesia, you didn't have weapons.
Yeah,
I've heard good things
that it's okay, but it's not as good as Amnesia 1. So I'm kind of like, but I do want to play it, and I do have it on GOG. So, yeah, I'll play it someday in the future.
All right, anything else, man?
No, that's mainly been it. Like, it's been just a week of, like, slogging through the games. I did go watch All Eyes on Me, though. I just thought I'd throw that in the Tupac film.
Okay.
How was it? Well.
It was doing well. If you know this, like, the real life story, then it's kind of like it's not surprising, but it does shed some light on his relationship with his mother, so I did think that was good, but everything else was just okay, nothing special. I still think that the NWA film was better in terms of just like the progress of the life, but hey, it was a good film. I'll probably like watch it again, but on Netflix or something.
You need to not watch. You don't need to rewatch that, man. You need to start watching some other movies, man. I'm just saying.
But, like Sunlight, that's a good film.
Sunlight.
What is it?
That's a new vampire movie, right?
or are you talking about Batman v Superman? Because that film is great.
Oh, yeah, that's a good movie. Yeah,
it's a good movie. Man. See that
greatest movie of all time, according to Carlos.
Yeah, right.
Speaking about,
you need to reevaluate that one.
You forgot, Adam. You got to remember all the games you've been playing.
There's too many because this one has a Fire Pro Wrestling.
Holy crap.
So that's an early access on Steam. It's coming for PS4, don't know when, but it already has thousands of creative wrestlers on there, and a bunch of my friends are already on it, so that's one of the things I forgot. Yeah, Fire Pro Wrestling, the world.
Yeah, all right, Carlos, what you been playing? I already know. Before you even go on, how can you tell Brian he needs to watch different movies when you keep playing the same fucking game all the time?
Oh, but that's games and movies. They're just two completely different things.
But it still takes up your time, right?
Yeah, I mean, eating takes up your time. Are you going to stop doing that?
No, you need to live, bro. Yeah.
No, I mean, so...
You know how to get me jazzed about that shit, man.
Yo, man, Heroes of the Storm, man, it's just... I just can't stop playing it, man. I play that shit every day. It's in my daily routine. It's in my DNA, man. I can't get rid of it.
Again, I got to get... You don't get tired of it? Like,
well, here's the thing. So, I'm a person that's really... how do you call this? Like I can't be doing the same thing for a long time. So like, I'm like, I played like for an hour and then I'm like, yo, I got to do something else. So like Heroes of the Storm, like the matches are like 20, 25 minutes each. Like, so like I just play two matches a day and then I play for like an hour and then I'm done. That's all I play. So like, it's perfect for me. I just get to like go in, go out. I'm done with the day. So, yeah, that's kind of why, and it's in my PC too. So like, I'm doing like shit from work, or I'm studying something, and then like I just double click the icon, play here's like a match of Heroes of the Storm, and then just fit, and I'm done. So it's just
on your work PC.
No, like I do work.
You so, call this man out in public.
Right? Nah, it's I do work on my work PC, and then I do other work in my home PC. So it's multitasking, man.
There you go.
So other than Heroes of the Storm, I've been playing Nier Automata.
Yeah.
So man.
I love all the different pronunciations. It's automata, man. It's a play on the word automaton.
I don't know, yeah, man. It's
some people call it automata.
No, and that's wrong. Again, it's based on the word automaton. I don't know why that's so hard to understand, you know?
Yeah,
anyway,
so,
go on. Yeah, Nier Automata.
So that game, man, like I love the first part of it. Like I absolutely loved it. It was so like fast paced, and I liked the transitions between all the different play styles, and mm-hmm. and the story was pretty interesting too. So it was like the perfect like beginning to a game that like recently that I've played. So I've been playing that, and like I've been talking to a lot of people about just how it's really important for the experience to run through the game through all the playthroughs. That's something that everyone's been telling me.
Yeah.
Because it's not really well, the second playthrough was kind of like a little bit of a redo of the last one. But mm-hmm. the thing is that there's more information that you get from that version of things. You got to remember that 9S is an information collecting model. So what kind of information will he get?
So yeah, it's pretty interesting. Like it might be a game that forces me to replay it more than once after I beat it, because I generally don't like to play a game after I beat it. So yeah, I've just been playing Nier Automata. And I pronounced it not right, Tony.
Yeah, you got it. Nier Automata, you got it. Remember, cool. So play on the word automaton. You
know? Automata.
Automata. Hilarious. And joining us at the ass end of the show while we're about to quit, Mr. Brett, how are you, Brett?
What's up, everybody? Sorry, I had rainstorms and lightning storms.
Yeah. It's all good. Everything's all right now, man?
Yeah, the rain's still going. Lightning let up, though.
Okay, that's good. But anyway, what games have you been playing lately, man?
I've been playing Yakuza 0 and...
Yes, my man.
Breath of the Wild.
The Trials, right?
Yes.
Yeah, tell us about that.
They're difficult. They're surprisingly difficult. Pretty much that's about it. They're like these weird Souls-esque challenge rooms. And they're way more difficult than I had anticipated. I was like, man, I would just be able to dive in, get these things done in an hour or two. Like, no, I've had to take multiple cracks at it multiple times. So,
time to get good.
Maybe I just suck. Maybe I'm not quite high enough level yet, or maybe it's actually just challenging. But either way, it hasn't been the cakewalk I kind of anticipated it to be.
Nice. And what do you think of Yakuza so far?
So far, it's really good. It's a little bit of an abrupt jump because it's definitely its own kind of game. But once you kind of get into the swing of playing it a little bit, it picks back up. I guess the best way I could say is the game is super Japanese.
Yeah, it's hardcore Japanese, man. Yeah. It's a Japanese ass game.
And that game, man, like that game, like punching people is so satisfying.
It is.
I love that aspect of the game.
Especially you use the doors, car doors and stuff.
Yeah, man, he's being the fuck out of these dudes. So yeah, like, you know, segue to me, I've been playing Yakuza. I started yesterday, right? And here's the funny thing, because before that I had been playing shit like Final Fight, and it was an easy transition. I'm like, okay, I'm just beating the fuck out of more dudes. Now, what's getting me about this game is the side missions. They're fucking insane. Like the first side mission I had to stop a girl who was running a panty selling ring. Like, what the fuck? Then I had to teach a dominatrix how to be more assertive. You know, like these wild ass fucking. And then I had to teach these punks, like this punk band, how to be hardcore because they were faking it. You know, they were like, oh yeah, if the fans find out we're fake, they're gonna kill us. So I had to teach them how to be tough. It's fucking nuts. You know, but yeah, like you said, man, just going around grabbing shit, beating the fuck out of dudes. It is fun, man. I'm loving it. You know, right now, this is a main mission too. I have to buy booze for drunks. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to advance the story.
Oh, the homeless people, right?
Yeah. Like these bums want fucking booze. So I got to go around the town picking up booze for these assholes. You know, I even made a list of the shit they wanted. You know, you have to keep it all straight. Also, what else? Yeah, also the town I'm in. I'm noticing, I'm like, hey, they're just reusing shit from the other game. You know, like everything was where I remember. Like, oh, there's the bowling alley, there's the Sega arcade, there's the fucking baseball. Like, all that shit was still.
Did you play any Sega games? Did you go to the arcade?
I played Space Harrier.
Okay.
I played that shit. That's the only game I saw in there, though. So hopefully they'll have some other ones.
Outrun is there.
I'm going to play me some Outrun. Yeah, Yakuza, I'm loving it. I'm like, the game has me hooked. fucking amazing. But yeah, like Brett said, that's a Japanese game, you know, very, very hardcore. But here's the funny thing about that, because, you know, me, I don't really like anime with subtitles, right? Because I'm like, yeah, it's getting into the way animation. With this one, I'm like, no, I don't want that shit dubbed, because this takes place in Japan, you know? I want that shit subtitled. So it's perfect like that, you know? It's kind of like when I watch live action Japanese movies, I'm like, that shit better be subtitled. No dubbing in that shit, you know? But that's going to do it for us, basically. Almost forgot. Before we wrap it up, a couple things here. So we're trying an experiment this summer. We're doing live streaming on this channel. Right now, we're just calling it Throwdown Plays, right? I did 2 episodes, and like I told you in those, if they do well, we'll keep it going as a regular thing. If not, then we'll just, you know, at least say, hey, we gave it the old college try. But I'm going to do one probably on Tuesday. I did originally say I'm going to do one on Saturday, but we're going to switch this up. We're going to have Adam do one on Saturday. Yeah, and you're down with that, you know?
Yeah, we're going to see if we could try to do, if I don't do the Call of Duty, then maybe I'll do the Mother Russia one. I think that'll be fun if we can get that going. It's hilarious, and a lot of people don't know about that game. It was big on PC, and then it just slipped on the consoles.
Yeah, and then as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to do it again on Tuesday, and I'm going to be playing that fucking Destiny beta because I got a code for it. So I'll do that. I'll be interested. But I did like that first stream I did. Like, basically, I had my little laptop here so I could read the comments, and I had the share play. So I could play my PlayStation in front of my monitor because it's easier that we can have my mic here and everything. And it was good. I didn't get as many like views as I wanted, but they're kind of slowly climbing up there. So yeah, we're gonna try it this summer. And you know, if we get good reception for it, we'll keep it going. If not, again, we could at least say we tried it. You know, always trying to do things to grow the channel. You know, and you know, my thing is, you know, Adam will obviously do it yourself, but when I do my playthroughs, I try to tell stories in there too, you know, like gaming stories and shit, not just like me just reacting to the game, you know, because
Want to do the boring ones, like when people stay quiet. I'm like,
yeah, no, we don't do that shit, because my thing is like Throwdown, the whole channel is all about commentary, what we think is shit. So that's when I decided, let me talk about it. I talked about that whole situation with Dunkey. I talked about my origin with PlayStation, because I originally hated PlayStation, and a bunch of other things, you know. It was pretty good. You know, so yeah, Adam, you know, we'll set him up and stuff. So Saturday, Saturday night, I'm guessing, right, Adam?
Yeah, most likely Saturday night.
Yeah, for me, it's always going to be at midnight, that, you know, Eastern. That's the time that's best for me. So yeah, you know, be on the lookout for that. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys. I noticed that Tony didn't ask me what I was playing, because I've been playing the same games for like 4 or 5 months.
I purposely skipped you, you know. All right, Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Game of Thrones is Sunday.
Oh shit, let's go. Brett Murdoch. Brett Murdoch.
It was briefly fun.
Yes. Adam Vale.
Guys, everybody, of course, Lucha Underground, watch that. But for those of you who have the WWE Network, watch NXT this past Wednesday. Aleister Black versus Bobby Fish. Yeah, Bobby Fish from Ring of Honor shows up. Watch that match. Mind blown. Awesome match.
And Brian Manjoma.
I still have not seen Spider-Man yet.
Interesting.
I haven't either.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Damn, Throwdown is letting me down here. What the fuck? You guys didn't go see it because he doesn't have spider sense, right?
Nah, comic book fatigue.
What? He doesn't have? Yeah, I have that. I have comic book fatigue. For the movies, I do. I just can't.
Even though you don't watch them?
It doesn't do it for me. I'm not thrilled. That's the reason why I don't watch them anymore.
So comic book hero movies are like the dinosaur equivalent now? Like, is that is it just a thing you don't like?
No, it's not a dinosaur equivalent, but it's just like I'll try to watch it. Like, I'll just get bored. Like Doctor Strange, I got halfway through and I'm like, this is boring. Civil War, Captain America, fell asleep twice trying to watch.
Really?
Twice, you know? And it's like
interesting.
You know,
So it's like, I don't know what it is.
I guess you're just not a superhero guy, you know? You're not into that.
The comics I read are all on Image, and they're not superhero.
Yeah, they're not superhero comics. Yeah, very interesting. All right, man, so we'll see you next time, people. Later.
Later.